Everyone, let's all grab our Bibles then and turn to Deuteronomy. No, Joshua. Go to Deuteronomy and then keep turning and get to Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. Now, whenever you find that, we'll go ahead and stand. Now, it is all 24 verses. For the sake of our reading, we won't read all 24. We'll hit the high points, but we'll deal with all of it during our message tonight. Joshua chapter 4. Now, we'll give context for a little bit. We'll just get into our reading. So, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake to Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And then Joshua called the twelve men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. So at this point, the ark and the priests are still in the river, and the waters are still stood up, and they've already gone over, and Joshua's sending them back in to do what? To grab these stones. Why are we going through all this? Well, we'll explain to you. All right. According unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Now that would be Gilgal, okay? So they did that. Joshua commanded, and they did it. Now verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan. So these are a separate group of 12 stones. He had the men go grab some stones. God did, of course, directed. And then Joshua himself got 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests, which bear the Ark of the Covenant, stood. We'll talk more of this in a second. And they are there unto this day. Now, verse 10 all the way through verse 18, we'll deal with these, but basically rehashes kind of what happened in chapter 3, that the Israel went through and crossed on dry ground, and kind of gave some more details about that. Okay? All right, now, verse number 19. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall ask your children, ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. So the title of the message is, what mean these stones? Remember what God did as you move forward. Remember what God did as you move forward. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great story. We know it's a true story. We're thankful for what you've done for the children of Israel and how you worked in their life in such a mighty way, and how you're preparing for them to move with you, and that you would continue to do mighty things. And God, we're thankful that you work among us, and that you do mighty things in us, and through us, individually and as a church. Help us, God, to remember these things, and to give you glory. We love you. Christ, I pray, amen. You may be seated. So chapter 4 picks up, as we said, right after they got through the Jordan. So verse 1, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan. And so this was, they've already gone through. So as we know, the Israelites took the ark, remember last week we said, and they put their soles of their feet in the Jordan River, and immediately the waters parted. The water was dammed up, really, on one side. The tributaries were cut off. And not only was the water stopped, but then the ground was dry. And so that's a miracle, isn't it? And here's what happened, is the Israelites, I mean, the Levites who were carrying the ark stood there, and everyone went by the ark and went to the other side. Okay? That's how it worked. Actually, let's go, just for review and just to catch these verses, look in verse 10. He kind of reviews what happened. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. Now, they weren't running because they were scared, but they better get out of that river. You know, God's holding up the water, and so they hasted and they passed over. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And so they were the first ones in, right, with the ark. God was the first one in. They walked through, and the ark of God was the last one out. First one in, last one out. And God is in through all this process, isn't he? And that's how life is for us when we're following God. If we're following the ark, he is in the beginning, he is in the end, God is in and through. His presence, his power needs to be a part of these things. If we're going to serve God, if we're going to move forward, if great things are going to happen, it's going to have to be God. And so that's what happened. They got in, the children went through, and then the ark came out. Now verse 12 is interesting. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. Now who are these guys? Do you remember a few weeks ago when I said that some of them already got their inheritance on the other side, Jordan? So if you can imagine, as we've been doing, I guess, this being the Jordan River, and these tribes, they already had their inheritance. God gave, they won some battles. God gave them their inheritance on this side, Jordan, but there's still more battle to be won, you see? And what did Joshua tell them? And by the way, Moses tell them, you have your inheritance, yes, but you need to help your brothers, right? You need to fight with your brothers. And so you know what they did? It's pretty cool. They went first. Ark went, they went in front of everyone else. Right? Now, that's cool. And we should be clear in the way. Us that have received some things from God, we should be first in the battle, helping others receive what God has for them. That's a blessing. What's also interesting is it's just the men, because the women and children stayed back, and so they were a little more mobile, and so practically speaking, that's the case too. And they went ahead and was charged in front, and we're doing it that way. So that's a blessing. And then verse 13, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. So they marched up right to the plains of Jericho. By the way, that's where Gilgal is. We read Gilgal. And so we have, let me just review. So we have Shittim, which is where they were at the beginning of Joshua. Joshua brought them. Well, actually, he sent the spies. Remember that? He sent the spies from Shittim. The spies came back. Immediately, they take a journey to the edge of the river, Jordan. They cross, and they go to Gilgal. Now, Gilgal, is reason they're in Gilgal is because it's right at the plains of their first battle, which is Jericho. We'll read about that in a few weeks. And so these guys, they go first, and they get right up ready for the battle. They're ready. They're ready to fight. Blessing. Okay. And that should be how it is, right? As God has blessed us and God has done for us and God has helped us to grow and to be sanctified and to take steps of faith, we are pumped and ready to help others fight their battles. You see? And that's what we need to be as a church family. And, you know, we're still going to have our own battles to fight. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't fight each other's battles as well. And by the way, that's part of what our prayer meeting is all about, isn't it? At the end, that we said on Wednesday, as you pray for servants of the Lord, you are involved with their battles. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Okay, so that's kind of what happened. And so then, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua, verse 14, and they feared him, and they, as they feared Moses, all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. So this is over. Everyone's gone through. Those tribes went through first. The rest of Israel passed through. They got out of Jordan. And now the Levites follow and come up out of Jordan. Verse 18, it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up into dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned to their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. Now, what do they mean, flowed over all his banks? Do you remember? It was high tide. Remember the mountain, Mount Hermon, I believe it was, and the snow was melting, and it was a raging, gushing river, and it was crazy, and it was chaotic, and they were staring at it for 3 days, but God intervened, didn't he? And he stayed the river, and they did what God wanted them to do, and then right after it, the river's back, and it's just as rushing and crazy as before. And by the way, now it's behind them. And what does that mean? No going back. I don't think God's going to clear the way back. God wants them to go forward. So they've got the river behind them, and they've got Jericho before them. And that's the Christian life, isn't it? God's brought us a long way, and he doesn't want us to go back. He wants us to keep going. And yeah, there's battles ahead. But I'll tell you this. You go back, there's worse battles. And God's not there. You see? So let's keep going forward. Let's keep moving forward. That's what we're doing. We're moving forward. We need to keep moving forward. Now, here's what happened in our passage. Before Joshua commanded the priests to come out. So you know, the priests come and they get to the edge. And remember, their souls hit. And they just kind of stop right there. And the waters parted. And Israel went through. They're all to the back. Now, they've made it over Jordan River. That's what it said in verse 1, right? They made it clean path. Now, children of Israel have, the ark hasn't. The ark has stayed. And Joshua, God told Joshua, I want you to pick out 12 men. One for each tribe of Israel, representing Israel. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to send them into the river and find 12 stones from the bottom of the river. Okay? Like souvenir. Really. Honestly. And they picked up these stones. And he said, I want you to take them to your first battle site, basically, to our first lodge in Gilgal. Take them to Gilgal. Why? Well, because Israel, if you read Israel's history, here's what you know about Israel. They forget a lot of stuff. They forget a lot of things. But they don't usually forget bad things. They remembered how lush the food was in Egypt, right? Remember that? When they didn't have any water, or any food. Oh man, I remember the delicious food we had in Egypt. Okay. So they remember those kind of things, but they forget what God has done. Like a month before that, how God parted the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea, and they walked on dry ground, and they get to their first hard thing, and they forgot everything God did for them. In fact, they remember the good thing of their old life, and they forget the good things that God has done. And we read that, we're like, come on, Israel. But then we remember that's us, isn't it? And God has done a lot of amazing things in our life. Now, I'll remind you, I don't view Jordan as crossing into heaven. In fact, I don't even really view Jordan as the salvation. If you're going to allegorize this, which we can take that too far, but coming out of Egypt, right, out of bondage, out of slavery, God did an amazing thing, and he saved them, and he delivered them. And so they needed to remember that. They forgot that. But then as they're going through Jordan, they need to remember this amazing thing that God did as God revived them again, didn't he? And he showed them his power again, and God's reminding them, hey, last time I did something amazing, very similar to this. Your first thing you got to, your first hardship, you forgot. And so God says, here's what I want you to do. Go get some stones out of the base of the river and bring them up to Gilgal. Well, where's Gilgal again? Where's that right next to? Jericho. And they're going to fight a battle soon. And it is their tendency, and it is our tendency, as we get into battles, we get into hardships, as things get difficult, to forget everything God already did. We need some stones, don't we? Right? And he said, you get these stones, and we're going to pitch them there in Gilgal. And then the idea is this. You'll be able to see it as you go into Jericho, but then down the road, you know, battle after battle after battle, you'll be able to come back and keep seeing what God did. Remember what God did. When things get hard, when you have battles to face and you think you can't overcome, you go back and look at the stones and you remember the time that God parted the Jordan River. By the way, just like he parted the Red Sea. And if God was able to part the Red Sea, and he was able to part the Jordan River, I think he can probably handle this battle we're about to face. You see? We need those stones, don't we? Now, we don't have a lot of monuments built all over our house. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you're not worshiping them. But mementos are good. Some people do that. And they'll have certain things. There's people that have, you know, certain, you know, tokens or whatever, or something on their keychain just to remind them of things that God has done. That's not a bad thing. But here's the point, is that we need to remember what God has done for us in the past. You're going to face battles along the way. It's going to be difficult along the way. And you need to look back and remember what God did when you face these battles. God did it before, and God will do it again. If you're saved today, God did a miracle. Hey, God did an absolute miracle. And the battle that God won on Calvary is bigger than any battle you'll face. And if God's calling you to something and you're like, I can't do that, okay, you need to remember what God did for you and how that you're not going to go to hell forever. Your sins have all been forgiven. God lives within you. And God did that. You didn't do that. God did that. And if God can do that, then God can do this. But probably, hopefully, along your life, God has done other things in your life. And as I look around and I see people in the eye, God has given you guys some pretty major victories. Don't forget those. We are good at forgetting those. We're good at dwelling on how hard life is now and how hopeless it seems, and we forget what God has done for us. And sometimes when we face a hard time, we're like Israel, aren't we? Where we look back and we skip over all the awesome God did, and we look back to our life before we were saved. We start thinking to ourselves, man, it was way easier when I wasn't serving the Lord. That's a lie, and you know it. It's not true. Life was difficult. Life was a mess. You were a mess. And not only that, your eternity was a mess. But sometimes we get tempted to turn back to that life, but you cannot get back to that life without jumping over all of the things that God has done in your life after that. Remember. And you know, God through Joshua told them, get those things. But then what's really cool is Joshua himself did, didn't he? And he went and he got his own stones. While they were gathering their 12, Joshua, you know, the hero, you know, the guy who carries all the groceries at once. Yeah. I mean, come on, Joshua. They're already helping. They can get you some stones. But he got 12 stones and he stacked them himself right where the guys were standing with the ark. Okay. And then remember, this was a flowing tide and it was crazy. So listen, I don't want to take too much time with this, but you know, the water was gushing and the snow was melting. And so the bank was higher. Now you might think, man, bummer. That just makes everything worse. But actually, in the long run, it was better because they step into the water and the water's this high, but the water's not always that high. Why? Because it's not always reaching. Water's not always melting. And so that's where Joshua put the stones. And so most of the year, when the water wasn't gushing and crazy, you can look across Jordan and see the stones that Joshua put there. Is that cool? And so they had stones at Gilgal. And then they looked across the Jordan and they saw where they were. Hey, they saw where they were. And they saw where they are. And they're able to face the battles that God has in front of them. And we can see where we were. And we can see where we are. And we know God did that. And as we look back to see where we were and where God has brought us, then it gives us confidence, doesn't it, to go ahead and take the next step. And the next step. And the next step. But what the devil wants to do is help you to forget all of that. He wants you to forget all of that. And God's done some pretty amazing things, hasn't he? He's done some amazing things at Valley Avenue Baptist Church, hasn't he? Over the 10 years, if you see where we were, if you saw where we were when Pastor came, with three members, and honestly, seriously, door's about to close. Like, this church was almost gone. And God sent a man and God resurrected a church, and now it's been here for 132 years. God did a lot. And if you've been here for any length of time, you've watched God grow our church and do amazing things. And you look around and you see souls that are different, you know, eternities that have been changed. And you see people who are on fire for the Lord. And you see people serving the Lord. And you see days like this morning and the great spirit we had and how God's working in Fall City. And God did a lot of things. But then, you know, we get to places like we really have been over the last couple months. And it's some difficult things ahead. You know, as God calls Pastor to move to Arizona, and then as we take our positions here, and people start stepping up, and we look at the hole that is left as Pastor leaves and Miss Melissa leaves and the boys leave, and we start thinking, man, I don't think I can handle that. Well, hold on. The same God who did it back then can still do it today, and I'm here to tell you he's doing it, isn't he? And maybe what we need to do right now is gather some stones. In fact, maybe we should get them. I don't know how. But we need to, in our minds, gather some stones. And we need to remember what God has done. We need to remember what God did 10 years ago. We need to remember what God has been doing over the last couple months. And you know, I was just talking, Miss Chelsea and I think Miss Missy were just talking, how that as this has happened, people have just stood up. And they've taken on the fight, haven't they? And you know, here's what's happened is some people in our church have looked back to see what God did, and they saw the battle ahead of them, but they knew, they were confident because that God was able to do it in the past, that God's going to do it again, and God has been doing it again. You know how he does it? He does it by people remembering God as they move forward. And there are some people in our church who are remembering God, and they are moving forward, and God's doing it, isn't he? Yes, he sure is. And God's going to keep doing it. God's not done. We have another battle coming. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm not worried about it. Because the God who fought the last battle 10 years ago, and by the way, I was there for some battles with Pastor Moore. We battled together, and there's some battles. And then the battle we're in and coming through, and there's going to be more. That's okay. What do? Well, when we get to the next battle, we just give up. No, we don't do that. We remember the stones. And our kids down the road will ask, what's with the stones? Remember that? That's what Joshua said. Hey, what are these stones all about? And here's what Joshua, love this. Joshua said, it's so that when the kids see the stones, they'll go ask the Levites. Is that what it says? No. It's so they can go ask who? Dad, Mom. What's with the stones? You know what that means? That means you need to teach your kids what you've received. And God knew. God knew that Israel was always one generation away from being not God's people anymore. And honestly, that happened in their history a couple times. If not for God, I mean, bondage after bondage. Because why? Because they forgot God. You know why they forgot God? Because the parents were not faithful to tell the kids, hey, what's the deal with the stones? And sometimes our kids ask questions and we are annoyed. Remember I said that this morning. Why? Why? What's the deal? Why? Why do we go to church three times a week? Why do we have to dress up and look nice? Why can't I just go in my jammies? Why all these things? Why do we take the Lord's table? Hey, that's the stone, in a sense, that God's given our church so we can remember. Why this? Why that? Why do we sing? Why do we pray? These are stones, and our kids will ask. And let's not get annoyed and say, don't always ask why. No, sometimes they should, because we need to tell them. We need to tell them, here's why we pray. Here's why we go to church. Here's why this building's here. Here's why we have a piano. Here's why we sing. Here's why we spend like 45 minutes to an hour listening to this boring old guy preach. Because we're hearing from God. You know, and you need to explain these things. And they're not always going to understand, but they'll get it along the way. But they're not going to get it just if they keep coming to our Levites. Like, junior church is helpful. Don't get me wrong. And Pastor Pirate's a big deal. But that's not enough. They need to be taught these things throughout the week. By you and by me. We need to be teaching our kids. And if we don't, there's a danger that 20 years down the road, we're going to have a lot of 80 or 90-year-olds and no kids. Because, I mean, it's a serious thing. And churches are dying by the hundreds. And it's because we're not investing in our kids. And we're not teaching them what the stones are all about. And not just the, hey, you just do it. No, explain it to them. Explain it to them. They need to understand it. So they can take it in them. And then they can grow up. And they can internalize it, teach it to their kids. And to their kids. Their kids. That's the plan, isn't it? Stones. They're important. We have to remember. We have to remember what God's done. He's done a lot, hasn't he? We have to remember. And so they get the stones. Joshua sets up his 12. And then he commands the priests to go through. And they get over to Gilgal. Verse 19, people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. And he camped in Gilgal in the east border of what? Jericho. Time to fight. Time to fight. And listen, we are not ready. We are not ready for the next fight if we don't remember the last fight. You see? We're good at reminiscing on all of our mistakes and being guilty. Hey, all that's gone. God took care of that. We're good at remembering the past, but let's not remember what God's forgotten. Let's remember what God remembers, the blood of Christ and what he's done and the battles and the victories he's won. And let's let the past push us forward as we look at what God has done. You see? And we'll be ready to fight the next fight. Verse 20, and they took 12 stones, which they took out of Jordan, and Joshua pitch in Gilgal? And again, he said to them again, he spake to the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Only God can do that. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until we were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. And I love this. We'll be done after this. Verse 24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You know, if you take these things seriously, and you're teaching your kids, and you're winning battle after battle, you know who's also going to notice? Not just your kids. All the world will notice. And they took notice of Israel. In fact, you just look at verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, and we'll be done. And it came to pass when the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were on the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. They all knew it. They saw the power of God. They witnessed as God did great things through Israel. And I'm telling you this, that as we let God work, and as we look back to see what God has done, and we trust him to fight our battles, and God starts winning battle after battle, and souls are reached, and Fall City, some great things are happening here in Fall City. As that happens, the world will take notice. And you need to be ready to tell them how it happened. The Lord God. You know, I remember, we'll be done with this, but who even was it? Somebody went, I was there, and they were talking to the pastor. And they're like, man, you did it. Now look at this. And the parking lot was filled up. I can't remember who it even was. Wow. Because I remember when you came, it was like three cars. Like, wow, you did it. The pastor just kind of chuckled. Said, no, you don't understand. God did that. See? God did that. And the God who did that is ready to do more. And we need to go with him. Yeah, let's get another person. Maybe we got one. Oh, that's fine. We need people, don't we? We need souls, their eternity, be different. And only God can do that. He's going to use us to do it, but we're going to have to trust him by looking to see what he's done and be ready to fight the battles before us. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've done in Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Thank you what you've done in these, Lord, dear precious saints, how you worked in each one of their hearts and their lives, and Lord, brought them through this journey of sanctification. And as I've watched with my own eyes, Lord, some battles won. And we're thankful. We give you glory for that. You know, you can do things like that. Help us to not forget what you've done as we move forward. Help us to trust you and be ready. Lord, as those tribes on the other side of Jordan were marched up to the gates of Jericho, help us to be excited to fight the battles before us because of the battles you won behind us. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your grace and your goodness. Christ in my name I pray. Amen. To stand together.